This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to dump on the media. Don Jr. is here to talk to us. John Carney's here. Jack Posobiec is here. It's just an all-star night tonight on I'm Right. Let's talk about communists and their mindset. Yesterday, what was the news of the day yesterday? The bridge, right? Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore goes down. And I went through the same thing you went through. I watched it in the morning with my wife. My sons were there. What happened? We're watching videos of it. And all of us, everyone's saying, oh, that's so horrible. I hope everyone made it out. Oh, no, that's terrible. But everyone, I had the same reaction you had, right? That is, what kind of a reaction is that? Why did you respond that way? It's a human reaction. You responded that way because you're a human being and you feel things for other human beings. We now know we have six dead. Well, presumed dead. The water's 30, 40 degrees. It's been 36 hours. They're dead, right? We know that. And it's awful, isn't it? You're starting to hear from those families. Dad never came home, and it breaks your heart, doesn't it? The story of something like this is tragic. It's a human tragedy to you, isn't it? But we have to understand something about communists. There's a reason these people are able to gun grab while the bodies are still warm during a mass shooting. There'll be a mass shooting, and the killer will still be in a school executing kids, and your liberal Aunt Peggy will already be on Facebook, "It's time to get the guns!" And you're saying to yourself, "Wait, what?" Joe Biden will get up and give a speech, "It's the guns!" And you're saying, hey, whoa, we can have that talk. Not right now. It's, what do you mean? People are dying. But why don't you feel anything for those people, for the families? Well, here's what the AP said yesterday. Right after the bridge went down, they printed an article, and this is what they said about Francis Scott Key. While the first verse of the anthem is the most well-known, there are a total of four stanzas. In the third, there's a reference made to a slave, Key, whose family owned people and who owned enslaved people himself, supported the idea of sending free black people to Africa, but opposed the abolition of slavery in the U.S. Hold on. What? A bridge just went down. There's all this human suffering, tragedy. Somebody found out their husband, their father, was never coming home again. And the communists sat down to pen an article about the man who the bridge was named after and why he was evil and racist and terrible. How could somebody lack humanity like that? Why are they like that? Well, I'm just going to explain this to you again. Communists are anti-humans. Solzhenitsyn called them the enemies of humanity. That's probably the best way to put it. The communist is not moved by human tragedy because he's against humanity itself. So if you're against humanity itself, there's no such thing as a human tragedy. Anytime people die, when you're an anti-human, it's just an opportunity to destroy more things. Just an opportunity to move the revolution forward. For you, what if I told you right now, hey, this morning I woke up and I got a new pesticide and I killed 1,000 mosquitoes, 1,000 dead mosquitoes in front of my house. Would you be moved by that? No, of course you wouldn't. You hate mosquitoes. You have no use for them whatsoever. If you had your way, you'd kill them all. So does it move you emotionally? Does it tug at your heart? That's how the communist feels about humanity, about human suffering. That's why they are the way they are. And they'll never change. They've always been that way. The Soviets are that way. Americans are that way. And look, while we're on the subject of the American media, let's discuss this Ronna McDaniel thing. Ronna McDaniel. I don't like Ronna McDaniel. I don't care that Ronna McDaniel got run out of MSNBC. This was Ronna McDaniel.
Donald Trump says one of his first acts, if he is reelected to a second term, would be, quote, to free those charged and convicted of crimes related to January 6th. Do you support that?
If you attacked our Capitol and you have been you've been convicted, then that should stay.
So then, but to the question, though, do you disagree with Trump saying he's going to free those who've been charged?
I do not think people who committed violent acts on January 6th should be freed.
Yeah, I don't care that Ronna McDaniel got fired. She wasn't going to be some advocate for freedom or political prisoners or anything like that. I don't care. But I do find the communist response, I do find the communist cause to be fascinating. Ronna McDaniel is a card-carrying member of the system. She has never and will never do anything to hamper Democrats in any significant way, yet word came out that she was hired as a contributor and they had a full-blown commie revolt.
Let me deal with the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
I think our bosses owe you an apology for putting you in this situation because I don't know what to believe. She is now a paid contributor by NBC News.
We hope NBC will reconsider its decision. It goes without saying that she will not be a guest on Morning Joe in her capacity as a paid contributor.
The road to authoritarianism is paved with people like Ronna.
The fact that Ms. McDaniel is on the payroll at NBC News, to me, that is inexplicable.
Why are they like that, though? What? Why would that response come out of these people? And of course, NBC bowed before them and they fired her already. And she's going to be rich now because they're going to have to pay her all that money, breach of contract and all those things. Why are they like that? Well, it's because they understand your liberal Aunt Peggy, that she lives in a world of make-believe. And these are the people who have constructed that world of make-believe for her. They built the walls. They put the carpet down. They built the roof. They need liberal Aunt Peggy to stay there. She must stay in this world of make-believe. That way, she'll be a loyal foot soldier forever. So, like when they're talking about January 6th, this is the kind of coverage they want.
Recommendations about the members of Congress that we know aided and abetted in some way, shape, or form the insurrection or the plot to disrupt the peaceful transition of power. On the Ethics Committee referrals, have you reached out to the Ethics Committee about what their process is going to be, what happens come January, Republicans are in charge? And then for these other members of Congress, should they too not be held accountable? After the Civil War, members of the United States Senate who sided with the Confederacy, they were expelled by their colleagues.
That's what they need liberal Aunt Peggy to consume. They need liberal Aunt Peggy consuming lie after lie after lie. You know, the laptop is Russian disinformation. The vaccine is safe and effective and stops the spread. They need liberal Aunt Peggy to stay in her house of lies. That way, she'll continue to vote for her own destruction. That's why any deviation from the narrative is immediately cracked down on by these people. Remember that. All right? All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Donald Trump Jr. is going to join us next. Talk about the lawfare, the fines, the insanity of America's cities. Before we get to Trump Jr., let's talk about Lone Star Transfer. Let's talk about your timeshare that you think you're stuck in. You're not. This is a lie. The timeshare company lied to you. They told you that you were stuck in it for life. They, of course, never disclosed when you were signing the documents that you were going to be stuck for life. And now that you're trying to get out, they tell you, oh, sorry, you signed the contract. No. Forget about calling them. Stop emailing them. Stop calling them. They're scammers. Call Lone Star Transfer instead. They're not scammers. They're a family business with an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. They will legally and permanently get you out. They are successful 99% of the time. They guarantee it. They put it in writing. They give you a time frame. You're one phone call away from being done with the annual fees, with everything else. So call 844-310-2646. Let Lone Star Transfer set you free. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Honestly, this is so infuriating, I don't even know what to do. I don't even know if I care what the process is that these judges are arriving at. Whatever it is, it's flawed. I can tell you that much.
These people, they really are mentally ill. And I know we've said that on the right for a very long time. Ah, it's a mental disorder and whatnot. But they really, there is something chemically, I don't know, I'm not a psychiatrist. There's something wrong with these people. Joining me now, Donald Trump Jr., host of Triggered with Don Jr. on Rumble, which I hear is killing it, unsurprisingly. Don, I know you get humor out of this stuff. Do you ever just sit back
I shouldn't,
and marvel,
Jesse, because
at the
it's
insanity
so
of these people?
No, I mean, I shouldn't get humor out of it. It's so ridiculous, but it's there every day. I mean, He shouldn't be able to get. Don't forget what he's neglecting to mention is that the original number when they tried to do the $463 million. Just so we understand, two thirds of that 6 months ago was ruled out by the appellate court, like by the next level up, and the judge just decided to ignore that because they understand that if you bond something, you pay points in, you pay points out, you pay for it. So if the number's higher, even if it's based on nothing, even if it all gets overturned later on, that money's gone forever. That could cost you $50 million just like that. It's like a tax, right? You never get it back, even if you win everything. So when we talk about this being a lawfare, when you talk about it just trying to be penalizing your political opponents, that's all this is. So the appellate division rules that, hey, we already ruled that 6 months ago, two-thirds of this judgment is out. The other stuff is still out for appeal. You still have to bond that. So you're paying points no matter what, even if it gets turned away when their star witness, don't forget, is Deutsche Bank, a trillion-dollar institution that said, we were paid back in full. Trump never missed a payment. We wanted to do more business with Trump. We made hundreds of millions with Trump. We actually used them as a feather in our cap to get other real estate business from other people. No, 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 you're a victim. No, no, we are. We want to do more. No, you're shush, Jesse. You're a victim. It's absolute insanity. This is the stuff that would make the Bolsheviks blush.
Don, it came out that they reduced it, right? And I saw everyone on the right celebrating they reduced it, right? Reduced it down to $175 million. And I understand the sentiment. It's better than it was before. But I went off on this on my radio show last night. How are we celebrating the fact that they're fining the Republican nominee $175 million, only $175 million, when the number, as you just pointed out, should be zero? This isn't a win. It's not as bad of a loss, but this isn't some win. This is third world dictator stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, to be clear, it's $175 million that you got to put up for bond, right? So that number, it's not the final judgment per se. That's what you have to ensure in case the judgment is there. The reality that they put monitors in place, all these sorts of things, like there shouldn't be anything. There should be nothing for a bond. You're still playing out in the appellate court. Because as I said, if you do put a bond, you pay for that today. That's a sunk cost. That is gone forever. So if we win in the appellate division over, you know, the coming months or probably years, the way this drags out, you know, you never get that bond payment back. You don't get the ridiculous, you know, legal fees back. That's millions in burn rate per month. So again, they don't care. It's why they want to throw 12 different things at a wall, hoping something sticks, because New York State, Letitia James, they're playing with house money, right? They're playing with New York State taxpayer money. If they lose, if it goes forever, if it doesn't matter. They've shown that they don't care about the people of New York, as evidenced by the fact that they've literally had to call in the National Guard to guard people on the subways because migrants are just randomly going around killing people. You know, that's not a big deal. We're going to go after Donald Trump. But more importantly, we're also going to go after Donald Trump and send a message to anyone else in New York that New York is closed for business. Unless, of course, you align 100% with the Democrat Party. Unless, of course, you're a donor to Letitia James, in which case, you know, we're going to overlook some of these things. We're setting up a scenario that is essentially ripe for extortion for these political radical activists. You know, any business, multi-billion dollar business in New York, that the AG is going to come in years later and say, you know what, we don't like that transaction. We think that someone was taken advantage of, even if there's no aggrieved parties, even if there's no complaints. And, you know, hey, if you don't donate millions to my campaign, we're going to unravel these deals after the fact. It's absolute insanity. It's dystopian lunacy.
Don, between the business environment that you just talked about, many people are talking about this now, business people who aren't part of Trump's campaign. Hey, why would I do business there? Between the crime, we just had a 31-year-old NYPD cop, father of a young baby, husband gunned down, freaking awful, freaking sad. With all the stuff going on, it's wild to watch America divide the way it is, meaning the blue areas are just turning into hell. And I love New York City, Don. Every time I go, it puts a smile on my face. I adore that town. And every time I go, I watch it go down and down and down. I'm stepping over Hobo Pee. It's just a disgusting disaster every time I go there now. And the country's turning into wonderful places and dumps. And it sucks.
Yeah, listen, hey, my father changed the skyline of New York. It was my home for 40 something years. And, you know, I moved to Florida. And literally, if you told me I could never go back to New York City again, like as my home for 43 years, whatever it was, I'm fine. I could care less. That's how bad it's gotten. I know people, successful people, they're literally, even men, they're afraid to commute back into New York for the suburbs because running through, you know, Grand Central or Penn Station, it's like running the gauntlet with your life at this point. These are not like wallflower people that are afraid. I know, you know, women, corporate lawyers, they literally have to now travel in packs commuting into the city because they're afraid to do it themselves. This is a place that even 20 years ago when I was younger going out, you go out till 4 o'clock in the morning, you wouldn't think twice about getting on the subway to go home, even if you may be a little tipsy. Like it's the fact that they could allow this to happen in these areas, that you see it, that you see the policies, they can attack police officers, they can beat the hell out of them. They're released within minutes without bail. There are it is insane. Jesse, I wake up so many mornings and I'm waiting for like a TV camera to fall out of my ceiling that I'm just the star of the Truman Show and I'm being punked because there's no way this could be happening in any state in America or the United States of America or any part of civilized society at this point. And yet here we are.
Another place we are is we're being embarrassed on the world stage, and now countries that I don't want to say worked for us, but certainly are not our equal, now feel comfortable lecturing us on camera. I'm sure you saw this. Here was Mexico's president.
With the ear of the White House, President Lopez Obrador proposed his fix, that the United States commit $20 billion a year to poor countries in Latin America and the Caribbean, lift sanctions on Venezuela, end the Cuban embargo, and legalize millions of law-abiding Mexicans living in the U.S.
If they don't do the things that you've said need to be done, then what?
The flow of migrants will continue.
Yeah. Don, that's where we are now? Mexico pushes us around like we're the nerd in high school?
Yeah, I did a whole thing on my Triggered podcast on Rumble on Monday, I guess, on this one. I mean, we are being extorted on a world stage by Mexico. Mexico is bullying us. I mean, we went from remain in Mexico, where my father, with a couple of tariffs, all of a sudden they're marching to whatever our tune was. And let's not make mistakes. We should control all the power in this relationship, whether it's economically or otherwise. But these people watch America exuding weakness under Joe Biden, under Democrat policies. They see a guy that can't stay awake during a meeting. They see a guy that gets lost on a world stage. This is the nature of predation, Jesse. Predators watch the weak, and when they see that weakness, they pounce. Mexico is beating us around like a schoolyard bully. It is unfathomable how we changed this quickly in 3 years. But again, this isn't just Joe Biden. This is Democrat policy. Joe Biden is doing everything the Democrats want. We're being overrun at our borders. We're America last. Of course they'll ask us for $20 billion. We're throwing around $150 to Ukraine without an articulation of what our goals even are. You know, it's like Oprah's like book club. You get billion, you get billions, you get billions. Of course they're going to ask for it. By the way, if I was the president of Mexico, I'd be asking it too because they'd probably get it. Here, what's $20 billion between friends? And if you don't, we're going to send you our dregs of society. We're going to send you our rapists, our criminals. You know, they'll have fun in your beautiful suburban neighborhoods. And one day, maybe, just maybe, suburban housewives will wake up and stop using the woke garbage that I guess they view as, you know, their social credit system, and start actually thinking about the safety and well-being of their children, their loved ones, and their neighborhoods, because that part of America is going to be gone if this continues for much longer.
Don, wrapping this up, I don't think a lot of people understand the importance of personal interaction, including with leaders of nations. You know, you brought up Joe Biden and Sleepy, and everyone can see that his brain is melting into tapioca pudding. That stuff matters a lot, especially when you're dealing with business leaders, world leaders. It's not a small thing that they look at our president and they see him as soft.
No, it's not. And listen, hey, one of the criticisms I sort of even had sometimes of my father was like, I'm like, hey, like, Dad, like, You actually, I've seen it for 40 years in businesses and the way he treated his employees. And I mean, I'm like, you have a lot of empathy. Like you got to show that more often. That's a political asset, not a liability. But, you know, he had that sort of old school mindset of, hey, man, if I'm dealing with Xi, if I'm dealing with North Korea, if I'm dealing with these animals around the world, like they got to see this side. There's no other. And so, you know, perhaps what allowed him to get, you know, peace in the Middle East and keep those guys in check is actually a political liability at home, because that same suburban housewife, I don't like his attitude. Well, that attitude kept us out of wars. That attitude kept us safe. That attitude stopped invasions. That attitude stopped the people from directly screwing with the United States. And like, you can't have everything that you want sometimes. So hopefully people finally realize that, as the pendulum has sort of overcorrected so far that like, I can't actually even make sense of like the Democrat Party platform. The things that they care about, the things that are their hills to die on, are, it's like a caricature out of like a Saturday Night Live skit back when it was still funny. It's mind-blowing.
It is. It's like we're on totally different planets. Don, my brother, I know you're busy. I appreciate you very much.
Yeah.
All right. Jack Posobiec knows about communism. He's going to join us next. He's got a new book out. Should be pretty good. We'll talk to Jack. Before we talk to Jack, all these nutballs, you know, money here, money for Mexico, money for Ukraine, but where does that leave us? Well, you know where it leaves us. There's nothing for you. It's nothing for you but inflation. That's what we get. We get inflation. So what do we do about that? Well, you have to do something. Can't just hope for the best. Hope is not a plan. Make preparations. Oxford Gold Group is preparations. That's what it is. It's you making preparations. Preparations for a future where the dollar is not worth even what it's worth today. They'll get gold coins, silver coins. They'll get it in your physical possession. They'll get it in your IRA. They'll get it in your 401k. Oxford Gold Group handles all this for you. And the best part of this is they make it easy. It's not some used car you gotta buy today. There's nothing like that. They'll figure out where you're at, what you can do, and they'll get you whatever you need. Call 833-995-GOLD or go to oxfordgoldgroup.com/free. Find out what they can do for you. Tell them I told you to call. They'll take care of you, all right? We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment, on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we've talked about it many, many times. It's been written about many times. Solzhenitsyn described communists as the enemies of humanity. He was constantly referring to them as the enemies of humanity. But why? That's kind of a bold statement, isn't it? Let's ask Jack about it. He wrote a book, an outstanding one, called Unhumans, The Secret History of Communist Revolutions. Joining me now is the man who wrote it, Jack Posobiec. Jack, unhuman? That's pretty drastic. Why would you say such a thing?
I know. It's amazing. I mean, there's so many of these great, you know, communist books out there. No one's really written one, you know, lately, so I figured that I would. And, you know, yeah, look, the reason we decided to use this title, Unhumans, and, you know, the cover, it's very, very eye-catching, is this idea that for some reason, we have in the West not given communism, as you know, the same amount of, I would say, equal treatment that it deserves. This should be considered one of the most disgusting, and it is the most disgusting ideology that has ever putrefied forth from Central Europe. And it is responsible for more deaths than any other ideology in human history. And so when we say unhumans, that is because it's exactly what the people that are behind it, the people that are behind these communist revolutions, and we go through this in the book, going all the way back to the proto-communist revolutions like the Roman Civil War and the French Revolution, all the way up to Russia and Spain and China and even things that we're seeing today, is they have embraced unhumanity. They have, by their own actions, by their own words, by their own deeds, embraced a form of governance and a form of policy whenever they take power where they stand entirely opposed to humanity itself. And that is why they have declared themselves and they have labeled themselves unhuman.
Jack, why? A lot of people, they can't wrap their minds around this. They themselves are human beings, flesh and blood, just like you and me. I mean, they're a lot uglier, but they're flesh and blood. Why would a human be against humanity? Wolves aren't against wolves. It doesn't make sense. Why are they like this?
So the reason is based in envy and based in greed and based in avarice. And so there's a typical belief that, let's say you're from the wrong side of the tracks. Let's say you're from a neighborhood that's covered in graffiti, and you look on the other side of the town, you look at the other side of your town, and you see this house up on the hill, and it's a mansion, some billionaire, and, you know, lives there. Not even a billionaire, just a, you know, just some upper middle class person. Usually it is an upper middle class person is the target. And instead of saying, gosh, I wish I lived in a house like that. Maybe I can make my neighborhood better. Maybe I can do something to improve my community, to improve my lot. Maybe I can, you know, get a better job or get an education so that I can, you know, that I can be more successful. My family can be more successful. I can pull myself up. There are those who, rather than believe that, they would rather go into that home and into that house and kill the people who live inside and steal everything they have and rob them of everything that they have, and then would want to continue in doing that and saying, you know, it's not actually my fault that I'm a loser in life. It's not my fault that I am a loser in careers or in love or in relationships and family, etc. It's their fault because they're the oppressors, and those oppressors are going to get what's coming to them. So it's a political ideology built in envy, and when you take it to its final form, this is always how it ends: mass graves and piles of skulls.
You said very accurately that the average American doesn't learn about this stuff in schools. They just do not. And the truth is that Mao is not nearly as hated as Hitler, even though Mao killed several times more than Adolf Hitler ever could. Both bad guys. Why do we all hate Hitler and not Mao? Why is this not part of the American curriculum, Jack?
You know, it's really amazing because, you know, I say this as a guy who spent years living in China, and I would go over there and I said, boy, you know, this is really interesting, the Chinese Communist Party. I want to learn more about them. And then I'd go and read Chinese sources. And of course, it's all pro-CCP. But then I said, OK, well, let's go read some American sources. And then that was also pro-CCP. I'm like, wait a minute, these guys are the commies. What's going on here? And unfortunately, what we have, and this goes into the Spanish Civil War as well, we have a situation where people say, that the victor always writes history. History is written by the victors, but in this case, history is written by the losers, and history is written by people who, rather than tell the truth about what went on, they're all fellow travelers. You get people like Walter Duranty in Soviet Russia. You get people like Edgar Snow, Red Star over China, who are actually supportive of these movements, supportive of the collectivization and land reform and killing the landowners and killing the kulaks. And so they will write these things and cover up the famines. They'll cover up the Holodomor. They'll cover up all of the atrocities that are going on because guess what? They actually believe the same thing.
Jack, is the right equipped to fight these people? Because it's here,
no.
As you know, you talk about it all the time. Are we ready? Why aren't we ready?
No. So the right would much rather spend much more time, and we talk about this a ton in Unhumans, the right would rather spend more time arguing about equal treatment and saying, oh, we're not being treated fairly, and the standards are double standards, and pointing out hypocrisy and thinking that you can use facts and logic to debate communists, when in reality, what's going on is that only works if you're dealing with people who are operating in good faith. And so many conservatives can't actually wrap their minds around the fact that there could be people that are so far left and so far gone that they want to deny the human rights of others. And if you're denying the human rights of others, by the way, then you are in fact becoming unhuman. I mean, that's exactly what the textbook definition of the term is. And so the right would rather sit there and think, well, these are just, you know, people who have good intentions, but these are unintended consequences, and we need to explain that to people. And I turned around and say, no, these are not the unintended consequences. These are exactly the deliberate consequences. The mass migration at the border, letting criminals and rapists into our country, going and mutilating the genitals of children. You think this is all happening unintentionally? You think this isn't some plan to actually destroy our country and destabilize us and tear America from the foundation of what is? No, this has been every revolution. Look, the squatters in New York City is the perfect example, perfect textbook example of communism. They say, we are going to come in and we are going to take your property from you, your very homes, throw you out, bring in people who are poor or people who just say they want to be in there, and we're going to give the homes to them. And if you have a problem with it, you are going to be arrested. And I say, you know what? People will say, oh my gosh, this is unbelievable. This is unprecedented. I say, oh no, because this has been going on for over 100 years, time and time again. This is what they do. This is what they always do. And if you want to understand that, you've got to get Unhumans.
Go pick it up. The book is Unhumans. Jack, my brother, I appreciate you as always, my man. All right. Bridge went down. What's it mean for us, for you and me? Does it mean anything? Should we care? Talk about that. Let's talk about what Jack just brought up. Crime. They're just coming over the border. Murderers, rapists, drugs. It's awful. It's terrible. It's the world we live in now. You have to look suspiciously all the time. You have to have something on you that will allow you to stop a bad man. There is a man who lives in your area right now who is looking for prey. He's lived a life of violence his entire life. If he runs into your daughter at the gas station tonight, can she stop him from hurting her? Can you? That's what Byrna is about. These are non-lethal pistol launchers. I carry lethal and non-lethal, even gun owners like me. A non-lethal option is necessary. They shoot pepper balls or tear gas balls. They're legal in all 50 states. No permits needed, no background checks needed. This is the thing that SWAT teams are using. It will stop a bad man. Just this pepper cloud, brutal. Up to 40 minutes, he's out. You're free and alive. Go to Byrna.com/Jesse and get one for yourself and your daughter. Byrna.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country, without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Over 30,000 vehicles cross the Francis Scott Key Bridge on a daily basis. It's virtually, it's one of the most important elements for the economy in the Northeast.
Well, I don't like to predict the future, but I'd be willing to bet that John Carney has a little bit more of an elaborate explanation on the bridge and the port and what it means. Joining me now, Breitbart News' finance and economics editor, John Carney. Okay, John, we'll set that explanation aside for the time being, and let's deal with, first of all, the port itself. It's down, it's going to be down for a while, especially now that the government's involved. We know that. What does that mean for us, for Baltimore, for the country? Does it matter?
It does matter. Remember a couple years ago when we had all of those ports on the West Coast backed up, when we had ships waiting out at sea? We're having a miniature version right now outside of Baltimore. Obviously, nothing can get in. Those ships will be redirected to other East Coast ships, but there are other East Coast ports, but there's not a lot of extra capacity at any of those ports. So that will mean that we will get a backup into those ports as well. Over time, people will start to shift away from the East Coast ports to the West Coast ports. Remember, the Red Sea is still tied up because of the Houthi attacks. So things that might come through the Red Sea are now going around the Horn of Africa. Now they get jammed up in the East Coast ports. So a lot of stuff will come across the Pacific. That will jam up the West Coast ports. So what we will see, unless this gets cleared up very quickly, which I do not believe it will, is port traffic jams, congestion, cascading across all of the American ports, East and West Coast. And that will cause backups. We are going to have supply shortages, scarcities, and frankly, probably some additional inflation pressures because of what happened in Baltimore.
Okay, let's nail down on that, because that's actually exactly where I was going with this. Let's deal with the scarcities first. Scarcities for what? Should I be buying toilet paper?
Yeah, well, so one of the lessons from the pandemic, right, is who knows, right? We just run out of random stuff all of a sudden. Maybe it's toilet paper. A lot of cars come through that port, so there will be a problem, probably shortages of cars. What that does is not just push up the price of imported cars, but also pushes up the price of used cars, because when you can't get a new car, people turn to the used car market. So we're going to see some problems with that. It is, but just a lot of Amazon is a major shipping hub right there in that Baltimore port. So a lot of goods people order from Amazon actually come through Baltimore. And so what we're going to see is delays in that. And so I'm not sure we can predict exactly what we won't be able to get our hands on, but I can predict that it will become more difficult for probably a bunch of stuff that nobody expects. You'll go into a store and say, wait, why is that shelf empty? Again, flashbacks to 2020.
Okay, so why inflationary? A port going down doesn't print money. What? How does that come?
Well, remember, well, one, the port going down is going to print money because we just had Biden tell us that the federal government is going to have to pay for all of this. So they are going to be printing money. It is going to ramp up demand. But even without that, when you have a supply shock, remember, when what inflation is it's when demand outstrips supply. When you have a supply shock, that can create inflation even without printing more money. You just have the same amount of money chasing fewer goods. So we're adding to that the demand shock, which is it will take a lot of labor and a lot of materials just to clear the port. Then you start to think about what we need to do to rebuild the bridge. This thing cost $141 million in 1977. I'm going to just say that it's going to cost 10 times that much, at least, to rebuild in 2024.
Yeah, I was doing the inflationary math in my head on what that meant for today. Okay, John, I'm going to ask a stupid question, and you might not even be the one to ask it, but I'm going to ask it because I was thinking about it as we were looking at that video on there and the bridges in the water and whatnot. Okay, the bridge went down. It's sad. It's bad. I realized that, praying for all the lost families. But the bridge went down. The port didn't go down. The bridge went down. Why does the port have to shut down for months or a year? Because there's no bridge. And unless I'm mistaken, the cargo ships weren't taking the bridge.
Right. No, that's a very good question. Actually, it goes back to the decision back in the 1970s to build a bridge across the Baltimore Harbor. That may not have been the best idea. Originally, they wanted to build a tunnel across the Baltimore Harbor so that the ships could just go over it. Instead, we built a bridge. The channel runs under the bridge. You have to take a very narrow pathway to successfully get through that channel. It brings you quite close to the bridge itself. This ship was not that far off of where it needed to be when it hit the bridge. And so there has always been a risk. Now, these are very carefully monitored, very carefully controlled. So it hasn't happened. This bridge has been, you know, standing there operating since 1977. But this bridge blocks the port. Ships cannot get to where they need to go to unload. There are a few ports, loading bays in front of the bridge. So some stuff will be able to get in and out of the port. But basically, they're going to have to close it down. They're going to have to re-dredge the channel. They're going to have to pull all of that steel and cement out of the channel. I've heard some people say that they think it could be reopened in a matter of days. That doesn't strike me as realistic. I think we're talking weeks, months, maybe longer, because it is a major operation to get in there, pull all of that stuff out, make sure that the channel is deep enough. Remember, these giant ships require a pretty deep channel to get in and out of there. You can't, you know, it's not just like you and I going kayaking in an afternoon and we could do it in a brook. These things have to be at least 50 feet deep to just get through. So you not only have to get everything out of there, you have to make sure the channel is still deep enough after all of this stuff has fallen into it.
John, I heard that margins in shipping are actually small. People think they're huge because you have all these goods and services and you're moving this vast quantity of wealth, essentially, across oceans. And surely there just must be billions and trillions at stake here. But that's not the case. Why are margins so small in shipping?
Yeah, actually, usually shipping loses money. One of the reasons there aren't public companies that exist, like why can't you buy stock in most shipping companies? Well, the answer is because they usually lose money. They make money every 10 years when there is some big problem that actually makes some of the ships, something like a catastrophe or the pandemic, for instance, was a profitable period because there weren't enough ships to get all the goods across. And so they get profitable every 10 years and try to make up for all of the money they lost over the previous 10 years. It is not a very stable business. It is one that is usually unprofitable. It is profitable almost only when there are big catastrophes that happen. And one of the reasons for that is it is just very expensive to fuel and maintain and then control one of these giant ships. It is not a, you know, inexpensive endeavor. And frankly, it's never really been inexpensive to do transocean shipping. We actually invented modern corporations, the idea of limited liability, because shipping was such a risky and expensive venture that nobody would even do it if they were actually going to be liable for all the damages that could be done from a sunken ship. So we invented, you know, the modern corporation basically to allow people to take the risks that are involved with transocean shipping.
Okay, let's talk about the Fed, the rates, the inflation. This isn't going to have any effect on potential rate cuts, right? Are we going to get rate cuts sometime soon?
No, we're not going to get rate cuts. This forecloses rate cuts. I think that one of the things that has happened is, again, the Fed wants to cut rates really badly. They are itching to cut rates. But what they need to see is they need almost an opportunity to cut rates. This is going to take away that opportunity because of the inflation shock. Both on the supply side and on the demand side, they're going to see prices going up for goods, for fuel, for services, for labor. And so they're not going to be able to cut rates this year. Maybe next year, I don't know. But frankly, this bridge project, rebuilding the bridge, I think people are really underestimating how much it's going to cost and how long it's going to take. People think, oh, it'll be done, you know, in a year or two. I think we're looking at 5, 7, 10 years. I mean, Jesse, you and I might be here, you know, 15 years from now talking about how the bridge still isn't built.
No, I think it'll be a lot faster and more cost efficient than that, John. After all, the government is involved. I have nothing but total confidence
what could
in
go wrong?
This thing done. All right, John. John, be good, my brother. All right. It's time for Lighten the Mood. I don't like cats, but this one impressed me. Hang on.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't like cats. Let me clarify. We're about to do a Light in the Mood, and it's going to involve a cat. And I have this weird thing about cats, and that I don't want to own one. Just not a cat guy. But I admire them. Like big ones, small ones. They really are amazing creatures, the things they're able to do. This cat took on a cobra. These are amazing. All right. I'll see you tomorrow.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.